ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्रीदयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 सकृत् श्रवण मात्रेण ब्रह्मज्ञानं यतो भवेत् ब्रह्मज्ञानावली माला सर्वेषां मोक्षसिद्धये असंगोहमसंगोहम् असंगोहम् पुनः पुनः सच्चिदानन्दरूपोऽहम् अहमेवाहमौयः नित्यशुद्ध विमुक्तोऽहम् निराकारोऽहमौयः भूमानन्दस्वरूपोऽहम् अहमेवाहमौयः नित्योऽहम् निरवद्योऽहम् निराकारोऽहमच्युतः परमानन्दरूपोऽहम् अहमेवाहमौयः शुद्धचैतन्यरूपोऽहम् आत्मा रामोऽहमेव च अखण्डानन्दरूपोऽहम् अहमेवाहमौयः प्रत्यक्चैतन्यरूपोऽहम् प्रत्यक्चैतन्यरूपोऽहम् शान्तोऽहम् प्रकृतेः परः शाश्वतानन्दरूपोऽहम् अहमेवाहमौयः प्रत्यक्चैतन्यरूपोऽहम् शान्तोऽहम् प्रकृतेः परः शाश्वतानन्दरूपोऽहम् अहमेवाहमौयः अहम् अव्ययः अहमेव अहम् अव्ययः अहम् एव अहम् अहम् एव अहम् means this I, the nearest, the I, an expression of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought used by everyone to refer to one's own self is essentially the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge, outside of which nothing is there, therefore implied by the term aham. Got the word? The two ahams. Aham eva aham. I the self am. I am the self. You say first aham stand for I. Second aham stand for the Atma. Aham eva aham. I tell you the meaning. Why this aham is used to imply Atma? Aham eva aham. One aham means I. That is, I is the first person singular pronoun, which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of knowledge obtaining in him for thought, used by everyone to refer to one's own self. And that I is essentially the reality which is of the nature of knowing, outside of which nothing is. Therefore, which alone is the container, which alone is there, in which everything is contained. Therefore, implied by the term aham. Is it clear? So, ahameva aham. One aham means the consciousness. The other aham means manifestation. One aham stands for pure knowledge, other aham stands for manifest knowledge. What is manifest knowledge? Manifest knowledge is pure knowledge. What is the reflection of the face obtaining in the mirror? Reflection is the original face. Reflection is of the original face. Is it clear? That's why we should know which aham is which. Aham eva aham. I the self am. I am the self. In which everything is contained. Okay? Which means one I stands for manifest knowledge, one aham stands for pure knowledge. Therefore, manifest knowledge is essentially the pure knowledge. Therefore, aham eva aham. And that aham, okay, which is the truth of I, is of the nature of changelessness, is of the nature of indestructibility, therefore avyayaha. Then, it's better to use the nouns instead of using the adjectives. The words may use sound like adjectives, but you should understand in terms of nouns only. Because noun means it's a swarupam. Understand? Then, shashvata ananda rupaha. And this truth of I, this swarupam of I, now I'm talking about this, which I? The I, the first person singular pronoun, obtaining in the form of a thought, the manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in the form of thought, that I is essentially of the nature of fullness. Ananda rupaha means of the nature of fullness. Because fullness implies happiness. Opposite of fullness is what? Inadequacy. In inadequacy, there is unhappiness. There is sorrow. There is grief. There is pain. Whereas in fullness, there is anandaha. Therefore, the truth of I, the swarupam of I, is of the nature of fullness. Anandarupaha. In what form does the reality obtain? Okay, now you arrived at the reality as the truth of I. Now we are understanding that reality in terms of its nature of fullness. What is the word here? Anandaha. Ananda rupaha. So in what form does the reality of the entire cosmos, arrived at as a swarupam of the I, obtain. This reality is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, is of the nature of happiness. Why? Because this reality happens to be the reality, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, being the truth, being full, being all pervasive, being all pervasive is the very nature. Which means, let me give you an example. With reference to ocean, the truth of every wave, truth of all the waves, the truth of the entire cosmos consisting of innumerable countless waves, the ocean constituted of innumerable countless waves, for the entire thing, the truth is water. And water remains filling the entire ocean, pervading in and through every wave. Does water need, water remaining as the truth, obtaining as the truth, does it need to do any action to fill the ocean? No. It's not an action. Being full is the very nature of the reality. So pervasiveness, fullness, is the very nature of any cause and the effect. So gold need not do any effort to pervade, to fill the entire product called chain. Listen, there is no part of chain or ornament which is not filled by gold. And even the gold, okay, is a flake, but the ocean is completely what now? Is filled. Similarly, the reality, with reference to this entire cosmos, the reality of this entire cosmos constituted of innumerable countless forms and names, associated with innumerable countless functions and serving purposes, this entire universe, or there's one truth which pervades in and through everything, remains filling everything. Therefore, the fullness, being full, is the nature of the very reality. Okay? So reality is of the nature of fullness. Therefore, this I is essentially the reality obtaining in the form of fullness. In the form of fullness, obtaining in the form of fullness means is of the nature of fullness. Ananda Rupaha. Really, you have to see this. I tell you one more thing. How Ananda Rupaha? See, there is no external, the whole universe can be reduced to one word, object, isn't it? Object is not outside of the external, existence of the external object presupposes the existence of internal cognition. Isn't it true? There cannot be something called object outside without the corresponding internal cognition being there. If there is no cognition internally, even if the object exists, it is as good as non-existent. For you, it doesn't exist, okay? So the external, the existence of the external, any external object, presupposes the existence of its corresponding cognition. And what is the cognition? Cognition of any object is a manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. Other than this I, every cognition associated with any object is what? Idam vritti, isn't it? It's also manifestation of knowledge obtaining from a thought. And manifestation of knowledge is, manifestation is of the reality. Therefore, we obtain pure knowledge. Therefore, there's no manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought known by the term cognition is outside of the reality. There's no object which exists independent of, outside of the reality. Therefore, the reality alone, through the vritti, it pervades in and through its corresponding object. Are you seeing it, what I'm saying? Therefore, what now? Anand is of the nature of fullness. I give two examples. Explain two ways now. We got it. Ananda Rupaha. Now, this Ananda Rupaha, there's water with reference to ocean does not fill the ocean only at certain point, certain time. Always. Never is the ocean not filled with water. Never a time water does not fill the ocean. Well, because when you say being full with reference to ocean, water is of the nature of the fullness. Water is fullness. Fullness is water. Why? Being full is the nature of the water being the reality of the ocean. Similarly here, we say the reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness, fullness, with reference to the entire cosmos. That is why in Tamil we have beautiful word Niraivu. Niraindu irundathu, niraindu irikkirathu, niraindu irukkum. Niraivaga irundathu, niraivaga irikkirathu, niraivaga irukkum. That which is always of the nature of fullness. The fullness is not, is a swarupam, nature. So ever reality is ever of the nature of fullness. Therefore, Shashvata. Shashvata means what? Permanent. Shashvatanandaha. The reality is ever of the nature of fullness. The reality is eternally of the nature of happiness. And reality is of the nature of eternal, permanent fullness, happiness. Shashvata anandaha. Shashvata. Other than the reality, everything is ashashvatam. The whole jagat, all the forms are ashashvatam. Objects of perception, cognitions are ashashvatam. Cognitions are ashashvatam. Reality alone is shashvatam. Therefore, the nature of the happiness, the fullness, the nature of the reality is what now? It's also permanent. Therefore, the reality is of the nature of permanent, eternal, everlasting, timeless fullness. Nilayana nirevaha irupadu. Got it? Shashvatam. If at all you want to understand the meaning of the word Shashvatam, all that you can say is only truth. Atma. Other than Atma, the word Shashvatam cannot be used in any context. Everything is what? Ashashvatam. Tamil we use this. Na Shashvatama. Namak enna Shashvatam. We always use, isn't it? Nothing is Shashvatam. Nothing is permanent here. We know this. There's only one thing which is Shashvataha Atma, Shashvatam Brahma. Therefore, the nature of the reality, which alone is permanent, is also what? Of the nature of permanence. Reality is of the nature of permanent fullness, permanent happiness. And so therefore, this I is essentially of the nature of reality, which is of the nature of permanent fullness. Shashvatananda rupoham ahamevahamoyayah. Now next, what is this aham? The truth of I, which is of the nature of permanent happiness. It means there is no permanent happiness other than the reality. Reality and permanent happiness are not two different things. If at all we have any experience of pleasure, some joy or happiness, it's only a state of mind which is a manifestation of fraction of fullness or happiness, which is time-bound pleasure. Understand? So reality and happiness are not two different things. Reality is happiness, happiness is reality. Fullness is reality, reality is fullness. Why? Because it is Swarupa. What is fullness with reference to ocean water? Okay. Now next. And this reality, we say, Prakritehe paraha. This is beautiful. Prakritehe paraha. Paraha means the absolute, the ultimate. All the ultimate, the absolute, beyond which nothing is there. Paraha, parama, paramaha, paramam, para, all these, what does it mean? Paraha, para, param, paramaha, parama, paramam, all these words mean what? The absolute, the ultimate. When I say the absolute, the ultimate, what does it mean? Beyond which nothing is there. That beyond which nothing is there, nothing can be there, is the absolute. And here, this reality, which is that's why we call it absolute reality, beyond which nothing is there, is beyond, superior to, distinct from Prakritihi. See, when you say Prakritehe Paraha Panchami, Prakritehe Paraha means is beyond Prakritihi, one meaning. Is beyond the matter. It is superior to matter. And actual meaning is distinct from the matter. Why I have to say distinct? It is not distant. Matter and the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Okay, reality obtaining in the form of the permanent happiness, pure knowledge, is not distant from the matter, non-distancible from the matter, at the same time distinct from the matter. And without which there cannot be something called matter at all. Therefore, this reality, obtaining as the very truth of the matter, is distinct from the matter. Like, remember the example I gave that day, the water obtaining as the truth of stillness is non-distant from the stillness. At the same time, distinct from the stillness. Same reality, is in the same water, when the stillness undergoes a change in the optimum of waves, the water is still distinct from the form and names waves, not distant from the waves. So, same way, the Prakriti in unmanifest form as the Maya, okay, the power obtaining as the unmanifest power, known by the term Prakriti or Maya, or the same Prakriti manifest as the universe, the power of the reality manifest as the universe, or remaining unmanifest as Prakriti, known by other term Maya, is not distant, doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality. At the same time, reality is what? The truth of the matter. Therefore, why it is paraha? This power of the knowledge does not have independent existence outside of the reality in the form of knowledge. You're getting what I'm saying? The stillness does not have independent existence outside of the water. What is beyond stillness? Water. What is superior to stillness? Water. What is the truth of stillness? Water. Similarly here, what is the truth of, what is the truth of the Prakriti? The unmanifest power of the knowledge is very knowledge. So the Prakriti, which is the power of the knowledge, unmanifest or manifest, does not have, I'm repeating it, the power of knowledge manifest as the universe or remaining unmanifest as power, Maya, does not have independent existence outside of the reality. Therefore, it is mithya. And this reality is not distant from the mithya prakriti, the superior to the prakriti. At the same time, this is what remains as the very existence of prakriti. This absolute reality, which is of the nature of knowledge alone, remains as the existence of the inert matter prakriti. What is that which lends existence to the inert matter, the unmanifest power? Is truth. Therefore, the reality lends existence to the power. Therefore, we say what? The power is of the reality. Therefore, power, this is what? Paraha, prakrutehe paraha. Shaktikku apparpattavan shaktiman. Shakti udayavan. Isn't it? The powerful is superior to the very power. Powerful is superior to the power. Powerful, got it? The very power is the powerful. So, prakrutehe paraha, when you say the absolute reality is the existence, then alone is the name of existence of the unmanifest power, when unmanifest or the manifest as the universe. Prakrutehe paraha. Are you see very clearly? Do you all see?
Are you using the word prakriti here to mean the manifest power? Not quite clear.
No. I just say prakriti, manifest as the universe, or remaining as prakriti itself, unmanifest. You can still, when you use the word prakriti as a matter, you can still say the whole universe is prakriti. And prakriti is what? Power of the knowledge. And prakriti doesn't have independent existence. Therefore, the power of the whole universe being manifestation of power of knowledge, the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. Got it? The entire universe is manifestation of the power of knowledge. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. See, only within this manifestation, the power is recognizable. When there is no manifestation, the knowledge is non-recognizable. How do you know how powerful the person is? Somebody comes to the crowd. The person comes on stage. There's a big crowd, okay? Weightlifting. Boxers come. We all go and I also go and stand. So how do you know people who is powerful here? The power is unmanifest, isn't it? And a person goes inside the crowd, in that circle. And he lifts. That's what? Expression of his strength. When the strength is expressed, oh, this person is what? Recognizable. So recognition always implies what? Expression. Isn't it? Expression, recognition, presupposes expression. Anyway, what I say, prakrutehe paraha. So reality being the very truth of the power is distinct from the power, not distant from the power, but definitely independent of the power. And it is the very existence of the power. Therefore, it is distinct and superior to the power. Distinct from the power, superior to the power. Is it clear? Prakrutehe paraha. See here, the consciousness is distinguished from the very matter. Now, what is matter now? Now, when you decide to distinguish it, right from the entire objective universe, including the aham vritti, is what? Manifest, prakriti manifest only. Isn't it? Okay. Aham shantaha. You all got it, na? Aham shantaha. So, shantaha aham. Shantihi is noun. Peace. Shantaha, peaceful. Adjective. In fact, I is essentially the reality which is of the nature of absolute peace. I, the self, am the peaceful reality. Instead of saying it adjective, as with a noun. I, the self, am the reality, Atma, which is of the nature of absolute peace. Why? Because all the disturbances, all the turbulences can happen in the form of thoughts, okay, only in the awareness. But the awareness is free from all the turbulence. Is it clear now? When you say, the lots of thoughts rise in the mind, so many thoughts rise. In keeping the frequency of the thoughts, we can say how frequent the thoughts are, so restless you are, so agitated you are, so disturbed you are. So all the thoughts, the disturbing thoughts, rise, remain and resolve in the awareness. But therefore, and the thoughts constitute the asatla aspect called antahkaranam. But the antahkaranam, otherwise called manaha, mind, consisting of varieties of thoughts, which are all disturbance in the stillness of consciousness, no, they come, but the consciousness, the source, the truth of these thoughts, where the thoughts rise, remain and resolve, is absolutely undisturbed and free from thoughts. Do you see that now, what I'm saying? Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of peace. Consciousness cannot become peaceful. I don't want to use the adjectives. I don't want to say Atma, peaceful Atma. I don't want to say. No, why? Peaceful means a problem. Atma is ever of the nature of peace. Atma does not become peaceful. Because Atma never gets restless. The restlessness is a condition of the mind which happens in, which enjoys existence in consciousness. Restlessness, agitation, disturbance, turbulence, what? All the condition of the thoughts which rise, remain and resolve in consciousness. Well, it is the reality upbringing of consciousness which lends existence to the turbulence, restlessness, agitation, in the form of constant rising and remaining and resolution of thoughts. But consciousness is absolutely free from what? Disturbance and turbulence. Your consciousness is of the nature of absolute peace. For you to have the peace, if your identity is with the reality, you are also absolute peace. You don't need to become peaceful. Don't need to make your... That is why Swamiji always says, there's no point working very hard to stop the thoughts. Why do you work very hard to stop the thoughts? All you need is shifting your eye sense. Understand what thoughts are, why thoughts are. Understand what I is. You isn't that? If you understand this, thoughts will resolve. Do you see what I'm seeing? I wish I can make you see exactly what I'm seeing. Aham shantaha. Pratyak Chaitanya Rupaha Aham. Now what is Pratyak Chaitanyam? See, when you say all that is there is essentially only the reality. And absolute reality is the most abstract, subtlest, non-objectifiable, imperceptible, inconceivable, non-describable reality, because the source, the truth of perception, thinking, conception and description and everything, truth of everything, which is not an object at all. And this reality, this truth of the experience, the truth of the experienced, the truth of the experience, this reality, which is of the nature of pure consciousness, is the only secondless, non-dual reality, the truth of the experiencer, truth of the experience, truth of the experienced objects also. Isn't it? And that reality is what? It's imperfected Brahma. And the same reality, when you discover it, is available for recognition as the truth of the experiencer I in every mind. The same reality, only secondless non-dual reality, consciousness, is available for recognition as the truth of I is what? Pratyak Chaitanyam, Pratyagatma. The reality which alone, which a reality which is of the nature of knowledge alone, is in the form of the truth of I in every mind, is given a name is what? Pratyak Rupam, Pratyagatma, Pratyak Chaitanyam. See, the reality which is arrived at as the truth of the I, truth of the I thought, in terms of its nature of knowing, the absolute reality which is arrived at through as the truth of the I thought, in terms of its nature of knowing, is Pratyak Chaitanyam. Same Chaitanyam only. Why Pratyak? Because it is, relatively it is inside. Relatively it is inside. From the standpoint of the I, where is consciousness? Inside. The standpoint of the wave, where is water? Inside. The standpoint of the water, there is no inside outside. Is it clear? See, the word Pratyak. Pratyak Chaitanya, Pratyagatma. Pratyak Chaitanya means the reality of the entire cosmos arrived at as the truth of I in terms of its nature of knowing is Pratyak Chaitanyam. Tamil episode solra. Ulahanit உலகிற்கெல்லாம் இருப்பாக இருக்கின்ற பரம்பொருள் நம் மனதிலே நான் என்கின்ற எண்ணத்தின் இருப்பாக அறிவாக அறியப்படுகின்ற பரம்பொருள் பிரத்யக் சைத்தன்யம். டோன்ட் நீட் நோலஜி. இங்கிலீஷ் சென்டென்ஸ் வாஸ் பெட்டர் தென் தமிழ் சென்டென்ஸ். God Devana, what is it? Say Pratyagatma. Naan, 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 naan. All the time. Aham, 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 iti. What is that? Which is there all the time is aham, aham, aham. Naan, naan, naan. What is it which is there? Every time you say aham, what is that? Expression of the I sense. What is the I sense? Awareness, the consciousness, the reality which is of the nature of knowing, which alone is always there as I sense, which expressed as aham, aham, aham. That reality is what? Pratyagatma. Pratyaksham vera vera. Don't worry about it. Pratyag. Pratyak. Pratyak. Pratyang. Pratyak. These are different words. Use it. Pratyagatma. Pratyak atma. Pratyagatma. Pratyak chaitanyam. Pratyagatma. Pratyakshram. Same meaning. The person obtaining as the person. The reality obtaining as the innermost person. The person, not the personality. All the personalities are matter, isn't it? The person, obtaining as the person. If I have to interact with you, imagine there's no I sense in you. Who can I talk to? Imagine only one thought, aham vritti, is not there in you. What will happen? You are fast asleep. Who shall I talk to? Suppose, Dharma, Dharma, Dharma. I sense has to rise. Only then you will respond. Okay? If I sense is resolved, I tell you, the body will never say, plate, don't disturb, never say. Amazing. Do you think that? I have to see the facts. It's all small, small things. If you fall asleep, a fast asleep, if a deep sleep, I simply call Dhanama, Dhanama, even if I come and do like this. No, until the eye wakes up, eye thought rises, there will not be response. The response is possible only when the eye wakes up, eye rises. If eye is resolved, so deep resolved, Kumbhakarna mar tungra var. Kumbhakarna, you sleep like a Kumbhakarna. Say that. You know, sometimes you have to do this, then somehow you're disturbed. The sleep is disturbed, and then your response means aham rises. Got it?
Child doesn't have the eye. The child doesn't have the two or something.
See, no, child has eye, but child does not know it has eye. See, there's eye in everything.
Okay.
But you know you are. The child does not know I am. Like animal. A child is like an animal for 2 years. Terrible too. Swamiji says. Why? Because one second it picks up ahankar, but nowadays 10 months le vandurumattu. Kaliyugam, isn't it? Generally, they say a terrible too because ahankara has picked up only. Child becomes two. Only then the child can compare. If you give more attention to the one child, other child is, no? Will dip into jealousy, hatred, all sorts of emotional problems, issues. It develops only after this ahankara. Aham means the child doesn't know I am. It has I sense, but it does not know I am. That's a total ignorance. So bliss. The child has no problem, you see.
Is it correct to say I sense?
No. Prarabdha, everyday sleep I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So essence always there.
Yeah.
Human beings have the essence. As children I'm saying, talking about. See, there's a certain time, the essence is there. There's no identity is not there on the part of the children. Because it's still, not that itself. Now, essence means what? The mind, okay. I-sense actually can reduce our mind to I-sense, ahankara. The whole mind is ahankara, you can say. A different ways of understanding it. So, when you wake up, every day waking up is, there's an order involved. Function of meditation, there's an order involved in that function. And that order, what now? That's why we work at Ishvara, and that there's a certain karmas to be exhausted, and you're woken up. Karma wakes you up. So let's not go outside of the teaching here, the class. You got it now?
Yes.
You got the point. Okay. So, pratyak chaitanya rupaha aham. So, I don't want to say indwelling consciousness and all that, because you should know what it is. Because already we are trying to understand all that is there is only knowledge. Only where is it available for recognition? That is the thing. Guhayam nihitam. Isn't it? Where is it available for recognition? Only in the mind. as what? As the truth of the thought. The mind is nothing but thoughts. Which thought? I. Why I thought? I alone is a thought indicating the subject. Every other thought is indicating what? An object. It was available for recognition as the truth of I. And when you, that reality, which is available for recognition as the truth of I, is what? Pratyagatma. Understand? Pratyachetana. Just be with the, every word I'm saying, it'll be very clear.
Pratyakchaitanyarupoham shantoham prakrutev paraha shashvatanandarupoham ahameva mauyayah tattvatitav paratmaham tattvatitav paratmaham madhyatitav parashivah madhyatitav parashivah
madhyatitav parashivah
mayatitav paranjyotih
mayatitav paranjyotih
ahamevahamauyayah
tattvatitav
paratmaham
tattvatitav paratmaham
madhyatitav parashivah
madhyatitav parashivah
mayatitav paranjyotih
mayatitav paranjyotih
ahamevahamauyayah
ahamevahamauyayah.
Okay, so aham eva, I the knower am the truth, the self, which is of the nature of changelessness. And here she says what? Tattva atitaha. Tattva atitaha. Sometimes I come from there, I sometimes would go here also. It's okay. Tattva atitaha. Tattva means, literally it means truth. Literally the word tattva means truth. Tattva atitaha. Truth, when you say, different contentions. Tattvam here means, we did not take the word meaning of the word tattvam as the truth. Okay, just take it as the different contentions, different views, called tattvam. See, sometimes the reality is also known by the term tattvam. Tattva bodha, what does it mean? The very reality, the word tattvam means the truth, the reality. Tasya bhavaha tattvam. I tell you why the word reality is known by the term tattvam. Better know this. Okay? Tattvam is coined from the word tasya bhavaha tattvam. Bhavaha means existence, irup. Now I tell you, with reference to ocean, what is the existence of that? It's a tat means that, isn't it? Tat means that. Bhavaha means existence. What that which obtains as the existence of anything and everything indicated by the pronoun that is was the truth. Okay? That which obtains as the existence of anything and everything indicated by the pronoun that. Tasya bhavaha, the truth of that. Well, you imagine it, there's no word for name for anything. Suppose you have to point out something. What will you say without the word? That. Okay, only what? If there is no word, what is that one thing which you can use to indicate anything other than yourself? That. The Tao stands for this, okay? Without a word, to distinguish anything other than you, what is the pronoun you can use? Tell me. Huh? Now you don't know that. You don't know that you are a Atma, okay? You are only Anatma, okay? Now you mistake. When your identity is with the body, and you have to indicate anything and everything other than yourself, what the pronoun you can use? You can use generally, that only, isn't it? And a bhavaha means what? Existence, irupu. Adanudaya irupu, tattvam. Tasya bhavaha, tattvam. So that which obtains as existence, the truth of everything and anything indicated by any pronoun is what? Tattvam. The truth of everything. Therefore, tattvam means truth of everything, the reality of the whole is tattvam. That is why we say what? Tattva bodhaha, the textbook, the knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the reality, which is Atma. Atma. Atma bodhaha, Brahma bodhaha, Tattva bodhaha mean the same. But here, Tattva atitaha aham, Tattva atitaha, Paramatma aham. Aham Paramatma. I the self am, I the knower am the absolute self. Absolute self means Paramatma. Mean, let me tell you first of all this one. Paratma, Paramatma means the self, same. Okay. Here Paratma means don't think of God or anything. Paratma means paraha, adjective for the Atma. So I the knower am the all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma, which is the only absolute self of all the beings. Why absolute self? Absolute self means absolute truth. The only truth of everything is what? Self. The truth of the wave is water, means Atma of the wave is water. So here Atma of the everything, the truth of everything is what? The same, Paratma. Absolute self means the only truth of all the forms, names and functions is called Paratma. The only reality, the only truth of all the forms, names and functions is what? Paratma. Paratma. Therefore, obtaining as the truth of the I. So, I am that absolute self, the truth of all the beings. I am the absolute self, Paratma. And this Paratma, Tattva Atitaha. Tattva Atitaha means, here the word Tattvam should not be taken as the Tattvam, the reality. Tattvam here is different views, different contentions. Tattvam means what? Different views, different contentions of the truth are called what? Different views and contentions of the truth are all what? Tattvani. And the truth, I am the truth of all the tattvams means what? See, tattva atitaha means I am beyond all the views of the truth. I, the self, am, I the knower, am the absolute reality, the absolute self, the truth of everything, which is distinct and beyond, free from all forms of contentions and views obtaining in the form of thoughts. Is it clear now? Where is the view? Any view you have about anything. Where is the view? Where is the contention? Any contention, any view you have about anything, right or wrong, is what? Only in the form of thought. It can be right view or wrong view. Right perception, wrong perception. Right contention, wrong contention. Any contentions, any views are what? In the form of thoughts. And what am I? What is this I? I, the first person singular pronoun I, which is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge, obtained from thought, is essentially of the nature of reality, which is the truth of all the thoughts. Therefore, it's beyond all the thoughts, distinct and different from all the thoughts, all the views obtaining in the form of thoughts. Is it clear now? Better, Swamiji doesn't like the word beyond. I didn't know beyond. He likes the word distinct. See, beyond means, the word beyond come out to make it. We should think of some distance. I'm beyond all the thoughts. Swami doesn't like it. He likes the word distinct. Because there's no distance between the thought and the truth, isn't it? Therefore, distant, not distinct. You can understand the meaning of meaning as beyond, but beyond, but understand the sense of distinctness. You got what I'm saying? One master feels very happy because he's very fortunate that he could come inside with us. Us are starving without our breath. Somewhere coming and biting all of us. Okay. See, in fact, tattvatitaha means the truth which is distinct from all the thoughts. Water is distinct from all the waves. Water obtaining as the truth of all the waves is beyond the forms and names waves, distinct from the waves. Similarly, the truth which is the truth of all the views and contentions obtaining in the form of thoughts is distinct from the views and contentions, free from all forms of contentions and views, isn't it? Free. Reality, Atma, is free from all forms of contentions and views obtaining form of thoughts. Therefore, tattvatitaha. Tattvangalukkellam apparpattavan. Karthukalukkellam apparpatta parampurul. And that paramatma, paratmaham. Then madhya atitaha. Madhya atitaha means what? See, reality is free from what? No, anadihi anantaha. Reality is beginningless, endless, and changeless. Therefore, the reality which is of the nature of timelessness is the reality of all the forms, names, and functions which have beginning and end, which. Listen, and all the forms, names, and functions which are experienced outside are what? Are manifestation, expressions of the manifestations of knowledge obtained from thoughts. Therefore, all the truth of everything here is free from the thought. The everything come originates in the reality, exists in reality, resolves in reality. But reality is free from all the forms, names, and functions which have beginning, which exist in the middle, understand, and which have end. So reality is free from all the forms, names, and functions which have originated, which are going to end, and which enjoy existence in the present. The middle, okay, the middle stands for what? The reality is free from all the forms, names, and functions which are originated, which are going to end, and which enjoy existence in the middle. Madhya atitaha means irikkindra, thonri, marayappohindra, idaiyile irikkindra ellavathindrum verana parambarul. Madhya atitaha means reality is free from all the forms, names, and functions which enjoy existence now, which had originated, which exist now, which are going to end later on. And this reality is free from all those forms, names, and functions which, see, anything which exists now is said to be what? Madhyam. Because it has originated, it is going to end. In between, what do you call it? Madhyam. Madhyatitaha means it is free from all the forms, names and functions which are existent in the present. Reality is free from all the forms, names and functions which are exist, which enjoy existence at present, in the present. Madhyatitaha. Then Parashivaha. Paraha Shivaha. This meaning of this word Shivaha, I have told you 8 times, I think. Isn't it? Unga per yatna solirukinga doctor. The reality is of the nature of auspiciousness. I never like the word, again, adjective, okay? Reality is of the nature of auspiciousness. And so Shivaha, Mangala Rupaha, Shivaha, Shivam, Shubham, Mangalam, Kalyanam, Sham, Bhadram, Swasti. All the words mean the same, I told you many times, auspiciousness. And what does the word auspiciousness mean? In English dictionary, you may find your own meaning. But auspiciousness means that which is of the nature of not causing any sorrow, that which is of the nature of being free from sorrow, that which is of the nature of the soul resolving sorrow is of the nature of auspiciousness. I think I'm so comfortable with saying it. Tamil na ipo yosichu paakanum. Puridha, what does the word auspiciousness mean? Being auspicious is auspiciousness. So being auspiciousness means being that which is of the nature of not causing the sorrow. That which is of the nature of being devoid of sorrow, sorrowlessness. That which is of the nature of resolving sorrow. So that which does not cause sorrow, that is devoid of sorrow, that which removes sorrow is what? Auspicious. In the Shivaha, one word, I don't know how to say that, okay? Dukkha matradu, dukkathe, erpaduthadu, dukkathe nikkuvadu. Adhan Shivaha. Neenga puttukkunu, doctor. See, every time we were told so many times. Anyway. Now, isn't it? So here, Parashivaha, and here I tell you, if at all in this here, there's one thing which does not just divide of sorrow is what? Sorrow, understand here, sorrow is a subtlest phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Isn't it? Because in subconscious which rises in a given situation which is triggered, rises, exists and resolves. But the sorrow is obtained from anything obtained from a thought is what? Sorrow is also manifestation of knowledge. Any opaque thing shines where? Only in light. Please understand, any opaque thing shines only in the light. There's a yellow color, orange color, the basket, or the wall, or the mic, every opaque thing has to shine only in the light. Therefore, any thought modification should enjoy, exist, shine only where? Only in awareness. Therefore, what is sorrow? Sorrow is a thought, which is a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. Subtle. It enjoys existence only in a consciousness. Therefore, sorrow is manifestation of reality in the form of knowledge. Sorrow is knowledge. And reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, which obtained from pure knowledge, is free from sorrow. See, that which lends existence to sorrow is free from sorrow. The reality which lends existence to the sorrow obtaining in the form of a thought is free from sorrow. Hope you are seeing what I am saying. I tell you, this class, you are with yourself. You are with your swarupam, satyam. Isn't it? So, dukkha rahitam. And this reality is of the nature of actionlessness. It does not cause sorrow. Is not the cause of sorrow. The truth of sorrow is not a creator of sorrow. Truth of sorrow is not the creator of sorrow. Understand? At the same time, once you understand what this sorrow is, what any thought is, by understanding what I is, you understand all that is, there's absolutely what is, there is only truth, the sorrow will resolve for good. But the reality in discovering which sorrow will resolve for good is also what? Shivaha. So that reality I am. Therefore he says, Parashivaha, there is nothing beyond, nothing superior to this absolute reality which is of the nature of auspiciousness. I told the meaning of the word auspiciousness. I mean, you can simply say what? There is nothing which is beyond the, superior to this reality which is of the nature of auspiciousness. Therefore, I am the reality. I is the reality which is of the nature of auspiciousness, beyond which there is nothing. Nothing beyond that. Parashivaha. Then mayatitaha. I've already told you. Same thing. Prakrutehe paraha mayatitaha. Same. Mayayaha atitaha. That which is beyond maya. See, when you use the term prakriti, you look at the maya as the material cause of the universe, you use the term prakriti. The prakriti is maya. Maya is a name attributed to the unmanifest, imperceptible, subtlest, non-recognizable power of the reality in the form of knowledge is known by the term maya. I mean, see that power, imperceptible, subtlest, power of the reality as the material cause of the universe is given the name prakriti. Is it clear? I think you need break now. It looks. Why two words? I'm telling you why two words. Let me tell you one distance stop it, okay? Maya is a name attributed to the subtlest, imperceptible, inseparable, intrinsic power of the reality, power of consciousness, power of reality in the form of pure knowledge. Chit-shakti, jnana-shakti is called Maya. And the same power, when the power is looked upon as the material cause of the universe, it is given another name, prakriti. Is it? See, clay, you look at the clay as clay. Okay, when you look at the clay as the cause of the pot, you call it what? Prakriti. Material cause. Isn't it? You simply see the power as power. This maya. No, I look at the same power as material cause of the universe, I call it what? Prakriti. Therefore, maya atitaha means this reality just as water is distinct from the stillness of the water. What is the truth of the stillness of the water? And the stillness is the non-recognizable power of the water. You don't know how powerful the stillness is. When the stillness is as the stillness, you don't know the power. But the stillness is disturbed, huge waves come. Isn't it? Similarly, here the Maya is a name attributed to what is imperceptible, subtlest power of the reality in the form of knowledge, pure consciousness. And the consciousness, reality is the consciousness, is the truth of the very power, which is the power cannot exist independent of the reality, but the reality can be, understand, without the power. As a powerless, but reality is always powerful. Why is it beyond? Because the power has no independent existence outside of the reality. Therefore, we look at reality as the distinct and superior to the power. So, Maya Atitaha means reality is distinct from the matter, the consciousness, which is non-distant, non-distancible, inseparable from the matter, is distinct from the matter. You reduce the whole into two as what? Matter and consciousness. And we remove the end. Say matter is consciousness. Finished. All that is there is only consciousness alone is in the form of matter. Okay, finished. Yeah. And what is that reality? Which alone is in the form of the matter. The consciousness alone is in the form of the matter. Means what is that consciousness? Paramjyotihi. Only one word I tell you. We really need to know the word Paramjyoti. Jyotihi. Jyotish. You know, Jyoti is a neuter gender word. But only neuter gender word used to call girls, Jyoti, Jyoti. Jyotihi is a neuter gender. Swamiji always told me, never use neuter gender words for girls. He likes a nice word, but somehow we like the light, so we all call. My sister's Alay's name is Jyoti. At home we call her Jyoti. And Swamiji says, the neuter gender line use panavadama. I don't know why he said that. I remember the word. He doesn't like negative words also.
Kamalam is a
No, there we have Kamala, Lakshmi, something, Kamalakshi, something we add. The Jyotihi is a neuter gender word. Even though Jyoti is a beautiful word, it's a neuter gender word. So somehow he, I remember him say, telling. He said, Allah, hey, varudhe, ingo, epupo. Swamiji never doesn't go away, na? Every fraction, in every which context, where, when, how, in what talk, he said, everything comes to my mind. Swamiji has gone so much, mixed in the gene, blood, I think. At least a little bit of it. A fraction. Okay. See, Jyotihi means light. Paranjyotihi means absolute light. There is no light, absolute light, other than the Atma. I don't want to go into details, okay? There's no absolute light other than the Atma. When you say absolute light, there's no light beyond the Atma. Atma is the light which is beyond everything, distinct from everything, superior to everything. Why do we say light? We have to understand the meaning of the word, definition of the word light. What is the light? Light is that which lights up, that which illumines. Isn't it? So, in our understanding, light is that which illumines is the light. So, all the opaque things which are here are illumined. They cannot shine on their own independently. They are opaque in nature. So, all these opaque things shine after another light. Therefore, sun is self-luminous. A self-luminous body is a light. Sun is self-luminous, has self-luminosity. Sun does not need another light to come to light. It is self-luminous. Moon is self-luminous in the night time. Stars are self-luminous. We don't need other light to see whether moon or stars are there or not. So sun, moon, stars, fire, they're all what? Lightning, they're all self-luminous. They have their own luminosity. Self-luminous. So they're all lights. And sun, mainly, you can say, sun is the light. For us, pratyaksha devata. Suryaha pratyaksha devata. Sun is the light which illumines the whole jagat. But everything else is what opaque in nature. So why do we say sun is the light? Suryaha is the deepakaha. Suryaha deepakaha. Suryaha deepaha. Dyotayati. Dyotate dyotayati. It shines by itself. It reveals its existence by itself. And it brings everything else to light. It makes everything else shine. Dyotate dyotayati. It shines, it brings everything to light. So deep a light. That which illumines is light. The illuminator is light. Now we say, not only the sun is the light, sun is the illuminator only from the standpoint of the opaque things which reflect the light. But the very sunlight itself needs to be illumined. The sun, just as opaque things will lose their status of being existent if they are not illumined by the sunlight, the very so-called illuminator sunlight will lose its status of being existent if it is not illumined. Therefore, we care to say, your seeing power also can be given the status of being the illuminator light from the standpoint of the light, sunlight, or any light. Now, the definition of the light has to be applied here. That which illumines is the light, lights up is light. That which brings to light is the light. Therefore, my seeing power also is a type of light which illumines certain object called light. Now I have to say what now? Each of my sense organ also can be given the status of being the light, illuminated. It is my hearing power which brings to light the object called the sound. Understand? My light, my hearing power illumines, brings to light, lights up the object called the sound. Therefore, hearing power is also light with reference to the object called the sound. So I have to give all my five sense powers have to be given the status of being the illuminator light, because each sense power illumines its corresponding object. Not only the sense powers are given the status of the light, I have to call what? Also, my own mind, antahkaranam, the mind is also light. Mind is not only the word deepaha we use, we also use the word devaha, divyati, means shines. That which shines is deva. Vedu vilangugirado adu devan. So illumination of consciousness also called devata or devan. Now we say each sense power is called what? Devaha, deepaha. See, the seeing power is a deepa, hearing power is a deepa, smell, power of smelling is a deepa, the power of taste is a deepa, power of touch is a deepa, this deepa, power of smelling, this deepa works very well. Manjakuli, I drink a lot of coffee. Deepaha, devaha, each dev, deepa is a deva. Why it shines? Five devas. Now, each of the sense, all the five sense powers have the status of being the existent because they are also illumined. And there is another light There's other light. There's other illuminator light of illuminator of these sense powers, which is the antahkaranam, mind. If the attention of the mind is not there with the sense powers will be as good as non-existent. They cannot be functional. Therefore, mind is the illuminator light, which illumines all the sense powers. In fact, it is the mind which alone is the illuminator light, which lights up the entire world of fivefold objects through the five different senses. Remember Dakshinamurti Stotram, na na chidra ghato darasthita mahadeepa prabhabhaswaram shines. Now we say, what is that light which illumines even the illuminator of the mind? All the thoughts, attention, everything can be there only when you are. So you are the illuminator light. And what is your source? You say, you, what are you essentially? The absolute, all-pervasive reality, obtaining as innermost essence of every being, implied by the term Atma, is of the nature of knowing. Jnanameva Deepaha. Jnanameva Devaha. There is no Deva other than Jnanam. Therefore we say what? No. Jyotisham Jyotihi. Jyotisham Jyotihi. Mahajyotihi. Paranjyotihi. In Abhiraya Bhatta's word, Olikku Oliye, it comes the word. So here, that is what we say in everyday, in Aarti time, Deva Deva, Mahadeva, no? You say all these are Devas. Mind is a Deva Deva. And Deva Deva is mind. Mahadeva is Atma. Yes, Paranjyotihi. Therefore, is there a light which illumines? You know, knowing is illumining. And I say, knowing is illumining. Illumining is lending existence. Understand? Knowing is illumining. Illumining is lending existence. Yeah. So reality is of the nature of knowing, and knowing is illumining. Illumining is lending existence. Therefore, what is the absolute light? So I, the knower, am of the nature of I am the reality which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, I, the Self, am the absolute light. Aham Paranjyotihi. Unakku vida, unnai kaatilum melaana or light ek kadaiyadhu. You are of the nature of absolute light, which lights up in terms of knowing the antahkaranam. Not one antahkaranam, all the antahkaranams. And through all the antahkarams, through all the sense organs, through the entire universe, everything here. Therefore, knowledge is a light. See, light is not knowledge, but knowledge is light. Anyavachma. Light is knowledge. In other ways, okay. But knowledge is what? Light. Because knowledge is the absolute light. Knowing is illumining. Illumining is lending existence. Therefore, what is that absolute light which is of the nature of knowing, thereby, which is of the nature of illumining the whole world, thereby, which is of the nature of lending existence, which is of the nature of existence, Paranjyotihi Atma. I has to be resolved only in that absolute reality, all-pervasive reality, which is of the nature of all-knowing.
Why don't you say pure knowledge? Why don't you say pure knowledge instead of all-knowing? Is there any difference?
And all-knowing means what? Knowing. Yes. Knowing. All mean, knowing means all-knowing only. Yes. All-knowing means reality is all-knowing, of the nature of all-knowing. Yes. Knowledge, I am saying, knowing is all-knowing. There is nothing, no knowledge outside of the reality. That's what all-knowing is said.
Use the word pure knowledge or all-knowing or...
No, doctor, when you say reality is of the nature of knowledge, when you say, yes, there is no knowledge outside of this reality. Therefore, all knowing, I said. No one knows outside of the reality. Whereas all knowledge is only, what is source of all knowledge? The source of all knowledge, all manifestations is only truth. That is why Dakshinamurti is what? The personification of all knowledge. The pure knowledge. When you say pure knowledge, means that the source of all knowledge is what? Pure knowledge. All knowledge is manifestations of all knowledge. The source, only source. Jnana Vutra, Jnana Sorupam. That's why Bhagavan, there's no teacher out there. Bhagavan is not the teacher, but the teacher is essentially of the nature of Bhagavan. Therefore we give what? Parsa Bhagavan as the Adi Guru. Okay, Paranjyoti, got it now? Paranjyoti. Okay, let's stop. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Krubhyo Namaha Hari Om.